The pulse of the background screening industry. Brought to you by iCubed Advisors.
I'm Kevin Bachman. For the better part of a decade, background screening rode a wave of structural growth that made almost everyone look smart and money. Well, that wave's receding in 2026, and what's replacing it is a fight for market share that will separate disciplined operators from exposed ones. Let's talk about something most people in the background screening industry don't want to say out loud. We're entering a zero-sum market. You know, for the last decade, growth in our industry felt structural. Employment expanded, job openings surged, the gig economy grew. Yes, compliance burden increased, private equity started flowing into the space, and technology lowered friction. There was room for everyone to grow. That's no longer the case. In iCubed Advisors data, we're seeing something consistent and concerning. Expectations are becoming increasingly disconnected from economic reality. Case in point, our last webinar, we surveyed the audience, several hundred background check experts and decision makers. 86% expected sales growth. But the macro indicators and our data tells a different story. Job growth is slowing. GDP growth is moderating. Open positions are down by roughly a million from peak levels. Layoffs are no longer isolated events. They're part of the cycle again. And the largest 6 to 8 CRAs in our industry continue to gobble market share. Today, we operate in a roughly $6 billion market. And like I said, the majority of screening volume runs through CRAs, which happen to be owned by private equity or public companies. And those organizations have real growth targets. Collectively, they're demanding about $700 million in incremental growth from their sales and executive teams. Here's the issue. There isn't $700 million of organic growth available in 2026, not in this hiring environment. So where does it come from? It comes by taking it. So let's talk about the shift from expansion to displacement. When markets expand, companies grow through demand creation. There's more customers, more hires, more screening. You can grow without hurting someone else. In contracting markets, growth doesn't disappear, but it changes form. It becomes displacement. Every dollar of growth for one CRA comes out of another CRA's book of business. That's what zero sum means. And when growth becomes zero sum, behavior changes. Sales organizations get more aggressive. Marketing budgets don't shrink. They get reallocated toward competitive capture. RFP frequency increases. Procurement becomes more assertive. Pricing gets scrutinized line by line. So if you're a CRA owner, this is the critical insight. Your competitors' growth plans are implicitly dependent on your clients. Let me say that again. If large, well-capitalized CRAs have growth targets in a shrinking demand environment, the only way they hit their numbers is by taking share. That means your accounts are on a list. Let's talk about loyalty and the myth of it. One of the most dangerous assumptions in a contracting market is that loyalty is durable. Most owners believe they have strong relationships. Your growth won't come from me, they say. And those relationships are often pretty strong, but loyalty in a B2B service has layers, right? There's relational loyalty, there's operational loyalty, there's contractual loyalty, and then there's economic loyalty. Let's break these down one by one. Relational loyalty feels strong until a procurement team gets involved. Operational loyalty feels solid until turnaround times slip during a hiring surge. Contractual loyalty feels safe until renewal season opens up. And economic loyalty disappears the moment someone offers a similar service at either lower risk or lower cost or both. In a growth market, small cracks don't matter much. Clients are busy hiring, switching vendors is disruptive, there's technology integrations. Margins are healthy enough to tolerate inefficiencies. In a zero-sum market, those cracks become entry points. And churn doesn't start with cancellation. It starts with, hey, can you sharpen your pricing a bit? Or, you know, we're just running a quick RFP. We haven't done our due diligence in a couple years. We want to benchmark the market. We're evaluating consolidation. So volume doesn't disappear overnight. It drifts 5% a time, 10% over a year. A department shifts to a competitor. A subsidiary signs elsewhere. By the time the revenue impact is obvious, the competitive attack that began months earlier. So what are well-funded competitors doing right now? Let's be realistic. The PE-backed and publicly traded CRAs are not sitting still. They're building sales engines. They're investing in data-driven prospecting. They're hiring experienced reps from inside the industry. They sharpen messages around compliance risk, integration options, and automation capabilities. They're studying your accounts, and they're pressure-tested organizations. Simply, private equity doesn't tolerate passivity. Boards don't reward optimism. Growth expectations force discipline, and that discipline expresses itself in sales intensity and operational scrutiny. If you're an independent owner, the question is not whether you can outspend them. You can't. The question is, can you out-operate them? Where are the real battlegrounds? Let's look to operations. Most owners think competition is won in sales. In a zero-sum environment, it's won in ops. Because sales creates opportunity, but operations determines retention. Let's break it down. Turnaround times. Not just a service metric, they're a switching variable. If your competitor can credibly demonstrate faster, more consistent turnaround times, procurement has leverage. Even if you ultimately retain the account, now you're likely doing it at lower pricing. Next, error rates and redos. As we know, every error increases risk, whether it's perceived or actual. When clients are cautious about hiring, risk tolerance drops. If error rates creep up, even slightly, confidence can erode. Client service responsiveness. Response time is emotional. In uncertain environments, clients value reassurance. If their calls or emails aren't returned quickly, you're subconsciously being downgraded in terms of your reliability. Next, pricing discipline. Many CRAs have legacy pricing structures that were built during years of expansion. Discounts accumulate, volume tiers don't adjust, special accommodations linger. In a contracting environment, that pricing leakage becomes margin compression. What's worse, competitors can undercut selectively because they understand your margin pressure better than you do. And lastly, account concentration risk. What percentage of revenue comes from your top five clients? If one leaves, does your cost structure remain the same? What about your margin targets? Concentration is survivable in a growth environment. In a zero-sum market, it's existential risk. What's the silver lining? Let's shift our tone a bit, because this is not a doom and gloom narrative. Zero-sum markets don't destroy value, they redistribute it. And that redistribution favors disciplined operators. Easy growth masks weakness in operations for years. Sloppy processes survive because demand is abundant. In 26, operational excellence becomes a competitive weapon. Retention becomes engineered, not assumed. This is the silver lining. If you're willing to look at your business honestly, there is opportunity. Why? Because many competitors won't look at their businesses honestly. Some are chasing growth aggressively without reinforcing their operational foundation. That creates vulnerability on their side. But you can't exploit that opportunity if you're defending from weakness. So as a CRA owner or leader, you have a choice. Option one, assume your relationships will hold and focus primarily on new sales. Option two, stress test your business the way a competitor would. Ask yourself and your team and your clients the uncomfortable questions. If you were targeting your own accounts, where would you attack? Is your pricing defensible? Are your SLAs consistently met? Are your integration capabilities clearly differentiated? Is client communication proactive or reactive? And most importantly, what are your early warning indicators for churn? Most owners review financials monthly. Few review retention risk systematically. And that is the shift required in 2026. So if we start to think about retention as a strategy and not as a reaction, retention is not customer service. It's straight strategy. It requires data. So as owners and leaders, you should know, what's your net revenue retention rate? What's your gross churn rate? What's your expansion revenue within existing accounts? What's your future opportunity? What are the pricing variables by segment, whether it's industry segment or volume-based segment? What's the account level profitability? What are your client satisfaction trends? What's your survey data tell you? What's your RFP frequency and win rates? There are 8 to 10 executive and investor grade KPIs right within those examples I just shared. And if you don't track those consistently, you're just operating on instinct, which works in an expansion market. It's dangerous in a contracting market. So retention strategy means mapping out your exposure. Which accounts are most vulnerable to the displacement I mentioned? Which accounts are price sensitive? Which ones are over-serviced relative to margin? And which accounts are at risk due to a technology or an integration gap? Once you know that, you can act and start closing holes. And you better do it before someone else does. You know, there's a phrase I like in this context. Simply put, it's time to get off the mat. Too many owners and leaders are just waiting for hiring to rebound, waiting for macro level improvement, or waiting for competitors to slow down. That ain't strategy, that's hope. Getting off the mat means taking initiative, auditing your operations objectively, identifying retention vulnerabilities, reinforcing service delivery, sharpening your differentiation, and align pricing with value. It's proactive, it's uncomfortable, but so is losing a top five client. So what's an operational audit really mean? And let's demystify this. An operational audit is not about criticism. It's about perspective. It's about opportunity. Internal teams normalize inefficiencies. They adapt around them, they compensate, they work in the system and in the business every day, they figure it out. External perspective sees the patterns that insiders miss. Where are processes inconsistent? Where are handoffs fragile? Where are SLAs starting to drift? And are they one-time incidental occurrences or are they structural? Where's technology underutilized? Where are margins leaking quietly? Most importantly, where is your retention risk invisible? An efficient audit looks at operations through a competitive lens. If I were pitching against you tomorrow, what weaknesses would I highlight? Would I talk about your integration limitations, your variability in turnaround times, customer service, support issues or staffing ratios, pricing complexity? If you don't know, your competitor might. What's the discipline dividend? Here's the upside. Owners who take this seriously gain optionality. Stronger retention creates opportunity and choices. It creates strength. Stronger retention means stable cash flow, greater negotiating leverage, higher valuation multiples for those looking to exit. It reduces your stress and it provides strategic flexibility. So, in a consolidating industry, disciplined operators become attractive partners or acquirers. Reactive operators become targets. Zero-sum markets accelerate consolidation, which is not inherently negative, but you don't want to be on the front or on the back foot of this. So, as we circle back to the hard truth about 2026, let's be blunt. There is not hidden organic growth waiting to save underperforming background screening companies. There's no rising tide this year. If you grow meaningfully in 2026, you're going to earn it. You're going to do it through share gain, through operational superiority, through greater retention rates, or you won't, and someone else is going to take it. That is the 2026 environment. So final thoughts. If you're a CRA owner, leader, decision maker listening to this, here's the question I'd leave you with. Have you pressure tested your operation the way a well-funded competitor would? Not casually, systematically. Because the question isn't whether share will move. It's whether it moves toward you or away from you. Serious owners are already doing this. They are stress testing their retention exposure. If that conversation is relevant for you in 2026, it's worth having now before someone else forces it. Zero-sum markets reward discipline. The silver lining is simple. You still control how prepared you are. Thanks for listening to this episode of Background Check Radio. Be sure to subscribe to catch all of the news relevant to the screening industry. You can find us at iCubed Advisors, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your content. I'm Kevin Bachman. Have a great day.